Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David concludes his series on comfort in a crisis as he takes a look at how Paul says we are jars of clay. Let's listen.
Well, here at church, we have had to adapt in many ways because of the coronavirus, as I'm sure you have at your homes as well. Specifically, we've had to adapt how we do worship planning. I was so thankful that one of our members sent us a checklist to know which hymns we can still sing and which ones we should probably avoid now that we have the coronavirus. So here's some examples. We should probably stop singing Breathe On Me, Breath of God. Don't you think that that's something we're avoiding these days? Or Precious Lord, Take My Hand. I don't know if you can do that in a socially distant way. Just a closer walk with thee. Maybe if you're within 6 feet, that's about as close as you can get. Gather us in, close to thee. I think we're going to avoid those for a while. But these songs could work. Wash, O God, our sons and daughters. For at least 30 seconds, maybe humming Happy Birthday. Or Jesus walked this lonesome valley. I think we can relate to that one. I come to the garden alone. And the last one I really love, trust and obey. Don't we need that right now to get us through this time? Trust and obey. We are in the third and final week of our series titled Comfort in a Crisis. During this time, we have looked at different examples in Scripture of where God has taken people in a time of crisis and surrounded them and giving them comfort. And in those examples, we've sought to think about how God may do that same thing in our lives. And so we're wrapping this up today with one of my favorite passages. It comes from a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he founded in Corinth. And we're going to pick up this letter in chapter 4, verse 5. I hope that this example provides you comfort in whatever you're going through this day. He begins in this way. He says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." For Paul, there was one reason and one reason only to preach, and it was to share the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, Lord of all, this is the message that Paul wanted to proclaim. Paul wanted everybody to hear that good news. But how sad would it be if somebody missed that message because of the messenger? This was something that Paul was concerned with because he realized that it is the message that matters and not the messenger. We do not preach ourselves, Paul says. No, I do not come into your church to preach about myself, Paul says. The only message that matters is Jesus Christ as Lord. And we are all just servants to that message. He says in the next verse that this message, Jesus as Lord, he refers to that as a treasure. Here's verse 7. He says, "But we have this treasure, this message of Christ, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Yes, the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, Paul compares to a treasure. But it's a treasure that's kept in clay jars. Isn't that a little bit surprising? If you had treasure, wouldn't you keep it in, I don't know, a treasure chest? Or something that on the exterior would really show how valuable what was inside was? But that's not what Paul says here. No, Paul says this treasure, this message that we have from God, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that treasure is housed in clay jars. Clay jars in this time period were used to house water and transport water. They were fragile. They broke easily. They were common. Everybody had them. This is an unexpected exterior to house something as valuable as treasure. Now, don't take offense at this, but Paul is describing you as one of these clay jars. Why? Well, because just like the clay jars, we're fragile, aren't we? Like, our bodies will eventually fail us. We all make mistakes. We embarrass easily. We are not perfect. And yet, housed within us, these mortal bodies, is this message, this treasure that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are the clay jars, and the gospel message is the treasure inside of us. And Paul says that this goes to show that the all-surpassing power is God's. It is God's and not ours. Even if it's housed within us, it's all because this is how God chose for this to operate. We may house it, but we did not create it. The Greek word for all-surpassing, I want to focus on that for a second, because it's hyperbole. That Greek word is where we get the English word hyperbole. And what it means is excess, beyond measure, exceedingly. What Paul is trying to communicate is that the power of God is far beyond anything that we could properly imagine. It is in excess. It is beyond measure. And yet that power is housed in us. These fragile jars of clay, these mortal bodies. What a contrast. I mean, isn't that? What a contrast to have this all-surpassing power of God be housed in us. When I think of the contrast of this verse, it makes me think of a picture kind of like this one. In this one, you see the picture of the world's tallest horse. It is 10 feet tall. It's a 3,000-pound beast, and it's next to a miniature pony. So in this example, we are the miniature pony. And the all-surpassing power of God would be that 3,000-pound horse. In this contrast that Paul is describing here, it is like God is giving the responsibility that should be given only to that 3,000-pound horse instead to us, the miniature pony. God chose to allow the message of the gospel, the all-surpassing power of God, to be housed within us, even though we're fragile, even though we make mistakes, even though we are not perfect. The treasure is in clay jars. For Paul, this was deeply encouraging. It was encouraging to him, particularly during times of intense stress and persecution. Those times when he's trying to share this message with the communities around him and all he gets is pushback and persecution, during those times, he's encouraged to know that despite what he faces, he still has that message within him. Here's how he puts it when he describes the hardships that he and his fellow missionaries were facing during his time of ministry. In verse 8, he says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are at a loss, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We get knocked down, but not destroyed." There are a lot of descriptive words here to describe the hardship that Paul went through in sharing the gospel message. And so I want to look a little bit more closely at them. Paul says that he is hard-pressed, at a loss, persecuted, and knocked down. Can you relate to any of these? Have there been times in your life where you have felt hard-pressed? Like the walls of life were just closing in around you? When you felt caged in and did not know how to free yourself? Have there been times when you're simply at a loss for how to move forward? You are at your wit's end. You don't have any more solutions to your problems. Have there been times where you felt persecuted, like the problems of your life were literally hunting you down? Or can you think of times where you were knocked down again and again and again, knocked down by the problems of life? I bet all of us can think of times when we relate to these emotions, but as Paul sees it, despite the challenges of life that so naturally come, despite what he is facing, he still has the all-surpassing power of God within him. He is housing the gospel message, and therefore, he has a charge. He still needs to continue with his ministry despite whatever it is that he is facing. Therefore, he says, yeah, I may be hard-pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. Never crushed. I may be at a loss, but I am not in despair. Yeah, I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned by God. And I may be knocked down 100 times, but I am never destroyed. Paul is able to keep going despite what obstacles are in his path because of the gospel message that is housed within all of us. Here's how he kind of summarizes this concept. In verse 10, he says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The gospel message that Paul talks so much about is the fact that Christ died for you and God raised Jesus from the dead. For Paul, he seeks to remember that in all of his trials and traumas and sufferings. You see, what Paul is saying is that when he goes through a time of suffering, he thinks then of Christ's suffering. He thinks of the death of Christ. Well, that's interesting, because for me, when I go through a time of suffering, well, I just think of my suffering. And then I think of how my suffering makes me feel, which is usually not very good. I'm not thinking about Christ. I'm thinking about myself and my own hardships and how I don't like what I'm going through in that moment. Paul is encouraging us to take a different tactic when we face the suffering that will naturally come in our lives. Yes, he says, recognize that the salvation story, the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, is playing out in your life as well. So when you go through sufferings, think of Christ's sufferings. Yes, we carry around the death of Jesus with us in those times of suffering. Now that might seem a little bit abstract. I think it is. And so here's a practical example of how you can carry around the death of Christ with you in your sufferings. I want to introduce you to a person named Saint John of the Cross. He was a Carmelite monk, and he lived in the 15th century. Saint John had a really kind of interesting belief in life, that he believed that he wanted to spend all of his time growing in awareness of God's presence. How fun, how interesting would that be, to dedicate your entire life, not to any particular job or, in his case, not even a family, but no, he simply wanted to grow in an awareness of God's presence, and it worked. And he's got tons of writings about what it felt like to grow and expand his awareness of God in his life, but then something unexpected happened. He stopped feeling God's presence. He describes it as like a light switch. Just one day, he did not feel God's presence any longer, and this time was an extended period of time where he did not feel that God was near to him. He calls this time the dark night of the soul. And in that dark night, he says it felt like he was out of control. He felt like he didn't know kind of what was up and what was down, because everything was a little bit different now because he was not feeling God's presence in his life. But it is in precisely in that moment that moment that Paul might call carrying the death of Christ with you. It's in that moment that St. John of the Cross believes that resurrection can take place. Or as he writes, we believe in a God who heals in the darkness. This is exactly what Paul is talking about. In your pain, in your grief, look towards Christ's sufferings and recognize that resurrection and that new life also comes out of darkness and death. Paul carries both of these reminders, the death of Christ and the life of Christ, in him as he goes through his own sufferings. He expands on this in the next verse. In verse 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed also in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Yes, in your sufferings, may you embrace both the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then Paul says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. What Paul is doing here is he is quoting Psalm 116, because that psalm talks about this very theme of God working in a person and having life overcome death. I highly encourage you to go and spend some quiet time today reading Psalm 116. It is a beautiful psalm. But so Paul wants to quote a part of that psalm to remind his audience that it's not just him saying this. No, that even in the Old Testament, this concept of life over death is rooted right there in their Old Testament. And then he expands on it. And he says, since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Yes, Paul is reminding us here that the story of death and resurrection is happening within you. So do not lose hope. Do not despair. Do not lose faith when you go through the periods of your life that feel like death. Paul would say we all go through those times, and instead of focusing on how hard they are, or focusing on what is causing you the pain, instead focus on Christ and recognize that resurrection comes out of times of darkness and death. Because of this reality, Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly we are wasting away. Paul is describing the aging process. Remember those jars of clay that are fragile, they break. What Paul is saying is that our mortal bodies every day are aging. And every day eventually are moving towards a point where they will break down and no longer work for us. Particularly in Paul's life. I mean, his own body took a beating, quite literally. And he has described the times in his life when he was knocked down. And Paul's got the scars to prove it. I bet you do too. Our bodies carry the scars, both physically and emotionally, of going through the traumas of life. Years ago, I went for a bike ride with Sarah and her family. Now, disclaimer here, it was not my bike. And so it was not a bike that I was used to riding. And instead of having the handlebars kind of just up top where you normally ride them, the handlebars were down below. And so you lean over it and kind of hunched over when you're on the bike. Now, the thing about that was when you're hunched over to change gears, you had to reach even further down. And the gears were not changing. I kept trying, and they were not changing or shifting, and so I was falling further and further behind of Sarah and her family. So I decided, well, let me just try some brute force. So while I'm still biking, I just really hard kind of try to change that gear, and the next thing I know, I'm on the ground, surprised, bleeding fairly profusely from my left hand. Really didn't know what had happened there. I had to get myself cleaned off, so I went to a local shop and cleaned myself off, and it wasn't until hours later that I realized I was missing my wedding ring, that my ring had been ripped off my finger due to the impact of me hitting the cement when my bike fell. I went back and looked for the ring and never did find it. But I still have the scars in my hand of when that wedding ring was ripped off of my finger. Yeah, we all carry the scars in our body, and each of them probably tells a story of how you got that scar. We also carry the emotional scars, the ones that, well, other people can't see. And those take a lot longer, don't they, to heal and to recover from. Outwardly, we are wasting away. This is the natural part of life, but inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. This is the contrast that Paul is describing here, saying, yes, your body may be fragile, it might be a jar of clay, but inwardly, your spirit, your soul, whatever you want to call it, inwardly, you are being renewed every day by the power and presence of God within you. What Paul would encourage us to do here is not simply spend all of our time and focus on our exterior, our bodies, the things that will eventually waste away, but instead, on a daily basis, let us get tapped into the presence and the power of God within us. May we be renewed daily because of God's message and power inside of us. I bet that you can think of someone who is going through a challenging time, maybe battling a disease, and you can see that their body is bearing the scars of that. And maybe that person is still the most joyful, optimistic person than you've ever met, because they're tapping into something deeper, deeper than just what's going on in their body. They're tapping into this inward renewal that is possible because of God. Here's how John Philip Newell puts it. He says, "Do we know that within each one of us is the unspeakable, beautiful beat of the sacred? Do we know that we can honor that sacredness in one another and in everything that has being? And do we know that this combination, growing in awareness that we are bearers of presence, along with a faithful commitment to honor that presence in one another and in the earth, that holds the key to transformation in our world? Recognize that you and everybody around you houses the presence of God, even in these jars of clay." Well, realizing this changed Paul's entire perspective when he went through trials and trauma. So he says this, because of this, for our light and momentary afflictions, well, they are now achieving us in eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Okay, let's be honest here. The troubles that Paul was facing, they were not light and they were not momentary. They were incredibly hard. They were weighty. And they just about did him in on a number of occasions. Just like your struggles are truly struggles. There's nothing light or momentary about them until you compare them with what God holds for us in the future. Yes, when you look at the eternal weight of glory that God has for us and for this world, then what you go through in life and the struggles in the here and now, in comparison, seem light and momentary. Because of this, Paul says, "So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, which is those light and momentary afflictions. No, we don't focus our eyes on that, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We all have the choice of what to focus our attention on. The most natural thing in the world is to focus on what can be seen, which is usually our suffering, usually the challenging things in our life. That's what we want to focus all of our time and energy and attention on. But Paul offers us an alternative. Won't you join me in focusing all of our time and energy and attention on the unseen, on the eternal qualities of God that are at work in our world and are at work in you? May you fix your eyes on the eternal. May you fix your eyes on the unseen. And may you, in the midst of whatever crisis or trauma you are in today, may you fix your eyes on the presence and the power of God that is at work within you. Because this is the treasure that is housed in these jars of clay.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. Have a great week.